be in Matthew 4 tonight. I need to apologize to Brother Connor. I gave him all my kind of supporting verses, but the main passage is going to be in Matthew. I didn't give it to you. I'm sorry about that. But we're going to look and kind of have our keep our place in Matthew 4. There are going to be a few supporting verses, and we'll look at them. Matthew 4. We're going to start, though. You can put you a finger here in Matthew 4, but go over to Hebrews 12:2. We'll read that and to start. Then we'll go back to Matthew. It may be a little confusing, but maybe we can get there. I want to look at Hebrews 12:2 to kind of get us set up to what we're talking about. But 2 weeks ago, right before the ice storm, I was going to preach Sunday night. If you remember the Sunday morning, we talked about what Satan does. And I told you if we come back that night, we'd talk about what Jesus done, look at the cross, and look to how Jesus fought his battles. And thankfully, the Lord's led me back here to share this message. And to say that I'm excited about it is an understatement. I've been chewing on it and mulling over it, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. So I just want to thank the church for the opportunity. Hebrews 12, we'll look at that verse. Title of the night is, What Would Jesus Do? We looked a couple weeks ago at what Satan would do, or what Satan does. And you see that in Matthew 4 of the temptation of Jesus. But we want to look at the Savior. We want to look at what Jesus did. So Hebrews 12:2 will get us started. The Bible says, I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. I do want to apologize. If you can stand long enough, we'll read all of Matthew 4. It's 25 verses. If you can handle it, I'd ask you to stay standing if you can't understand. But we'll look at Hebrews 12:2 to start. It says, Looking unto Jesus, and that's what we're going to do tonight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, says, For who with joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's kind of getting us into that term, looking unto Jesus. And we'll go back to Matthew and we'll look at Jesus. If you can handle it, we'll go through 25 verses. Lord willing, we'll touch most of them tonight. It says in Matthew 4:1, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus, he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10, Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. And that's what we're doing tonight. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Verse 12, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into the prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the sea coast in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Verse 17, kind of want you to remember this one. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Another verse I want you to look at, verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them. We're almost there. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Another one I want you to look at, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Whew. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity we have to read this word. I know it was long, but I thank you that we got through it. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us a blessing. God, would you just speak? We worship you, God. We lift up the name of Jesus. I pray that it's not just my heart, but it's the heart of the people, that we would want to do what you've done. Lord, the way you walked and the way you talked and the way you dealt with people. Help us to look at that example tonight. I'd ask you to open up the ears of the hearer, Father. I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd just calm our anxieties. Pray you'd calm the things that are going on in this world for just a few moments, and we'll look to Jesus. Thank you for this word. I pray you'd anoint it, God. It's already anointed, but you anoint my words. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts, Father. And everything I say and do, honor your name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We'll get me a glass of water after that. Kind of debating on whether we were going to read all of them, but I got to thinking about other people that are not free enough to read this word, and I thought, man, 25 verses in the grand scheme of things, that ain't much, because we needed to see all of them. We're going to hopefully look at most of them tonight and kind of ask the question, what would Jesus do? You remember back in the day, and I say that and I'm 25. Back in the day, it was like 7 years ago. But anyway, had these bracelets that said WWJD. Remember them? What would Jesus do? And I thought about that and thought about this word. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight, is look at what Jesus did. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at what Satan did and how he tries to come and tries to steal, kill, and destroy. But by the power of God, we want to look to Jesus. The Bible teaches that he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. And so we'll look at chapter 4. And I want to look at just a few things tonight at what Jesus did. Number one, we kind of touched on it last time, but we'll look at it again in verse number 4. Number one, what did Jesus do? He fought back against the devil. And I'll say this, if he fought back, I ought to fight back. The Bible teaches me in verse 4, if you'd look with me, Matthew 4:4. And but he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Go to verse 7, he says, fights back again. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then verse number 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. We look at these texts, and I believe it's a fair assumption to say that the Lord Jesus fought back against Satan. I look at that, and I try to apply it to my life, and I'll say this, there's a lot of people running around letting the devil whoop them to death. You know that? thinking that they can't do anything, thinking that they're just defeated, thinking that, boy, the world's going south, and thinking that there's no hope, but I can fight the devil. Did you know that? I can fight the devil, and I want to look at that. And my question, and I even wrote this down, question is this: can I fight Satan? And I want you to just kind of think on that for a minute. Bible teaches me that, yes, I can. I can. I'll give you a verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 will be on the screen. Thank you, Brother Connor. 1 John 4, 4, the Bible says this: you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Number one, can I fight Satan? Yes, you can. You ever, I'm thinking about Bob the Builder. You know that old theme song, Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Yes, we can. Man, can I fight the devil? Yes, I can. And I'm thankful that I can, but I want to give you a stipulation. I can only do it through Jesus Christ. The only way. If I'm doing it myself, you know what happens. I'll be like everybody else. I'll get whooped. I heard it said like this: the devil's a pretty good lawyer. He's pretty good at whooping folks. Pretty good at whipping the children of God. Brother Garrett sang a song this morning talking about how I don't understand how the devil would keep whooping on God's children. But if you didn't already know what he does, I hope you were expecting that. The Bible teaches me that Jesus is greater. My God is greater. And I look at that and I ask, can I fight Satan? Yes. Second question I ask myself, how can I fight? If I can fight, I need to know how. And the Bible teaches that as well. I fight with a sword. Man, I fight with that sword. Ephesians chapter 6, it'll be on the screen. I fight with the sword, I fight with the word of God, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What is that word of God? Well, I'll just give it to you, it's your Bible. It is that King James Bible, and the Bible teaches me that Jesus fought back. And I thank God that for that example. If I knew that I couldn't fight Satan, boy, that my world would be in chaos. Because he comes at me and he comes at you every single day. Can I fight? Yes. How do I fight? The Word of God. And I want to say this, and I've looked at this. The Word of God, the Bible, is all you've got. I look at those pieces that the Bible gives us in Ephesians, and I look at those, and I think about that shield, and I think about the shoes, I think about the breastplate. All those are defensive weapons, but I got one offensive weapon, one only, that I can fight with. You can't fight with a shield. You can't fight with a helmet. You can't fight with your feet. You can only fight with a sword. And that's the Word of God. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He said, it is written. It is written. And I wrote this down for my own walk. It is written trumps everything. Man, I'm thankful that it's not based off me. Thankful it's not based off what I hear. It's based off what it is written. And this is what I wrote down, and I pray to help you. It is written trumps everything. It trumps feeling. It trumps opinion. It trumps naysayers. And praise God, it trumps Satan. Boy, he can try to come back, and you see it here. He said, oh, it is written, but he tried to twist Scripture. But what I see here is Jesus kept using it and kept using it and kept stabbing and kept sighting. And you know what you got to do, church? Keep going with your sword. Keep fighting. Sooner or later, you'll win that battle. And I look at this chapter and I look at this example, and I love how Jesus fought back, and that encourages me, because if Jesus fought back, I can too. What an example. What would Jesus do? Number one, he fought back. And I'd ask you to keep looking with me in Matthew 4, and we'll look at verse number 17. Number one, he fought back against Satan. Number two is in verse 17. Jesus Christ preached repentance. Let's look here. Verse number 17, chapter 4, Matthew. says here, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is Jesus' first message. You just remember in chapter 3, he was baptized by John the Baptist. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased. He goes to the wilderness. He gets tempted. He fights back. Then he goes out to preach and he says to repent. In church, we've missed that a lot. Man, I know that God loves me. I hope you know that God loves you, but I can't stop with just God's love. If I don't preach repentance, it ain't truth. And that's what we've missed a lot. Well, we say that God loves us and God cares about you, and I agree with that 100%. But church, I've got to do something with God's love. I can't just accept it and move on and do nothing in my life. And that's why Jesus' first message wasn't, I love you. He did. Don't get me wrong, he did. But his first message was to repent. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I ask myself, and I want to kind of look at it, what is biblical repentance? That's the question. What is biblical repentance? It's not remorse. It's not regret. It's not sad that you got caught, church. The Bible teaches me that repentance is a change of mind. It's literally a transformation. And we look at this, the definition is a change of mind, but I want to kind of look at this in this way. Repentance is to go a different direction. I'm going one way, man, I'm chugging along. Repentance is not, you know what I'm saying? God loves me, I'm going to keep doing. That's not repentance. Repentance is I'm walking one way toward hell. God saves me, and guess what? I turn around. God saves my soul when I repent. And that's what Jesus preached, and I want to look at this, and I got to thinking, got to studying, and I thought about this. Other men in the Bible preached repentance. It wasn't just Jesus. And I want to give us a few examples, and I want you to kind of key in on them, and we'll look just in the chapter before this. You can look if you want to. Matthew 3:12, other godly men who preached, the pre-runner. John the Baptist preached repentance. Chapter 3, whose fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor. That's not right. Oh, God. It's somewhere in there. Let's look. Okay. Verse 2. Excuse me. Sorry, Brother Connor. That's on me. Verse number 2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven. It's the exact same thing Jesus said. The same thing that Jesus said, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's John the Baptist. Let me give you another one. How about Peter? How about Peter? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The Bible teaches me that Peter preached repentance. It says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to look at this word right here. Ye shall, when you repent. Not when you figure out that God loves you. Church, I'm expected to know that. He sent Jesus. And I'm expected to repent if I'm ever going to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when you get saved. You repent. You have a change of mind. You go a different direction. You ask Jesus into your life. And that's what the Lord Jesus preached. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Peter preached. I'll give you another one. John the Apostle. Do you know that John and John were two different men? John the Baptist wasn't the same as John the Apostle. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. John preached repentance. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that is? That's repentance. Thank God for that. And I'll give you one more. How about the Old Testament? We'll look at Solomon. Proverbs 28, verse 13, Bible teaches me that Solomon preached repentance. This is one we need to grab a hold of here. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You know what that means? Hide. Hide your sins. You will not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. Forsake. Repent. Turn around. Go a different direction. Jesus Christ preached repentance. Other people preached repentance in the Bible. And I'll say this, if Jesus preached repentance, I ought to as well. Now, I'm trying to go on a fine line here, church. I want you to understand that I'm not preaching that God doesn't love all people. I hope you grab that in your Christian walk. But what I'm preaching is half of the truth is not the truth. If I tell somebody something and I've got something hidden down in my life I don't want to share, that's not the whole truth. But if I tell the whole truth, it's already out in the open. We ain't got no questions. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He preached that Jesus loves me. We see that in John 3. And then he preached, repent. Thank you, Lord. Number one, he fought back the devil. Number two, he preached repentance. Let's read verses 18 and 19. This is one I'm excited about. So I'll get me a little water. Number three, Jesus related to people. Now look, I ask you to look in verse 18. He related to people. Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, key in on this, for they were fishers. Verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm sure you know a little bit about Peter and about Andrew. They were fishermen. They were not scholars. They were not a part of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They were not part of the Sanhedrin. They didn't know all the law. They were just fishermen. And Jesus, you know what he did? He related to them. Church, you know what I need to do to people? I don't need to go over their head with all the Bible. What I need to say needs to be backed by the Bible, but I need to get on their level. And that's what I think this means here. Jesus got on their level. If he would have brought up all the law right then, I don't think they'd understood. But he said, since you're fishermen, let's talk about fishing. And he says, I'll make you fishers of men. Instead of catching fish, you'll start catching people. And I look at that, and I'm thankful that Jesus related to people. He got on their level. And I look at another few examples in the Bible to kind of help us and expound on this about how Jesus Christ related to different people. Do you know not everybody's the same? Not everybody has the same level of knowledge, level of Bible, level of what you know. There's a lot of people that don't know a verse. Man, a lot of people that wasn't raised like I was. They don't understand the word. So sometimes I've got to get down their level. If I ever want to win them to the Jesus that I know, get on their level is what we're trying to see here. And that's what the Lord did. I'd say this, for fishermen, he went down. He knew a lot more than being a fisher of men. But he got on their level. And I look at another example, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, in John chapter 3, about Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was not a fisherman. He was a scholar. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. He knew the law. And so Jesus brought the law. John chapter 3, verse 14. Sorry, it's going to be on the screen. And as Moses, this is what he's saying here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, verse 15, that Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He got on Nicodemus's level. And he said, Nicodemus, you know this scripture. You know this word. You studied Moses. You study the children of Israel. And since you know about it, let's bring it back up. Jesus related to people. We look at that in John 3. You can go to the next chapter in the Bible, John 4. Everybody knows. Not everybody. Most people know what John 4 is. It's Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, at Jacob's well. And I don't know if this woman knew much, but I know one thing. They were standing by a well. They were standing by water. It was literally, she could literally and physically see it. So what did Jesus do? He talked about water. Man, he looked at that and he talked about water. And it says in John chapter 4, verse number 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Church, you know what Jesus did? He related to people. Got on their level. And I love that because I don't have to know it all to know Jesus. Man, I don't have to know it all. I may not know all the Bible. I'm trying. I'll never get there, but praise God, I know who Jesus is. If I can give you anything in your walk with Christ, just get to know Jesus. Get to know the Savior that died for you. If you start to get to know Jesus, the Bible will start showing up in your life. Thank you, Lord. Number one, Jesus fought back against Satan. Number two, he preached repentance. Number three, he related to people. And we'll kind of end with this. Number four, Jesus Christ. How thankful for Jesus. And you're going to laugh when you hear the last one here, but it's in verse 23. Jesus got around. He got around. Sometimes we take that in the world as a negative connotation. That's not what it is here, folks. Jesus got around. He got moving. He started leaving. He started moving in his walk physically. He moved. Look with me in verse 23. I'm able to make sense here. Jesus got around. And Jesus, verse 23, here's what I want you to look at. Went about all. Says he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick, there's a lot of all here, all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils and those which were lunatic and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. Final verse in the chapter. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Here it is. Jesus moved. He got around. He went from one place to another. Friend, Jesus didn't grab the whole world. He didn't walk to every city in the world. But he moved. And I look at that example and I want to look at my own life. I'm not supposed to be a hiding Christian. Maybe that'll make sense to us. I'm not supposed to hide out and wait on the Lord to step out. There's people out there that need Jesus. People out there. And that's what the Lord done. He gave us an example. We read the verse in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. And what did he do? He moved. He got around. In verse 23 it says, and Jesus went about all. And I wrote this down for help for me. I said, Jesus started where he was in Galilee. Started where he was, and he started moving. It says in that verse, what do? He taught, he preached, and he healed. And I love that. I love the way the Bible describes it. He said, number one, he taught. Number two, he preached. Number three, he healed. I think it's written like that for a reason. Because if all I want is Jesus to heal me, that's not enough. Man, I hope that grabs somebody. Teach, preach, heal. If God will heal me physically, If I'm not healed spiritually, that's not enough. He taught, he preached, and he healed. And I praise God, he done that. He moved around. And I asked myself the question as I read these verses, what happened when Jesus started getting around? What happened when he started moving from one place to another? And the Bible teaches what exactly happened in these verses. It tells me in verse number 24, what happened when Jesus shared? Number one, his name will spread farther than he ever went. I want you to look at verse 24 with me. His name spread further than he ever went. And his fame went throughout all Syria. He didn't get to all Syria. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people who were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. You know what happened when Jesus started sharing, when Jesus started moving? We see here in the verses that his name started spreading. You know what happens when I start moving in my walk with Jesus? His name will go further than I ever got. That's the power of God. I may not touch everybody, but I can touch who's in my life. I can witness to somebody who's in my life. And the good news about the gospel is what I do is when I share with people in my life, his name starts spreading. But it starts with one. It started with one person. It started with Jesus, and he started spreading his name. Number one, his name spread forever. Number two, when Jesus started sharing, people started coming to him. They heard about him, and then they started coming. Verse number 24 says in verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and here it is, and they brought unto him. Think about that. His fame went, and then they came back. His fame went out, and people started coming forward. You know what happens in your walk with Christ when you share the gospel? His name goes out, and people come. Go into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I start teaching, when I start preaching, and when I let God start healing, you know what happens? His name starts spreading, and people come to him. That's what the Bible teaches. Number three, not only will they spread, not only will they come to Jesus, but it tells us in verse 25, people will follow him. There's a difference here from coming to Jesus and following Jesus. You can come, but you ain't got to follow. Verse 25, last verse in the chapter. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Number one, his fame spread. Number two, people came to him, but praise God, they started the following. My prayer is that I share the gospel, people come to him, but then people follow him. That's what I want to be as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because I look at this, and church, this is what Jesus did. This is an example from your Savior. And I wrote this down. Jesus got around, and we ought to as well. We ought to share that word. We ought to praise the name of Jesus, because when you share God, his name goes further than you can go. His name brings people back. And his name, people start following when they look to Jesus. And so I want to sum it all up tonight with a question, and we'll close here in just a minute. Are you doing what Jesus did? Are you doing what Jesus did? Number one, what did Jesus do? The Bible teaches Jesus fought back against the devil. And my question is, are you fighting back? Or are you getting whooped? Are you fighting back or are you getting whooped? He fought against Satan, and praise God, the Bible teaches he won that battle. And you can too. Number two, Jesus preached repentance. Are you preaching repentance? Number three, Jesus related to people. Are we relating to people? And are you getting around like Jesus? Are you sharing the gospel? And church, I pray as you walk through this week, this question would run in your mind. What would Jesus do? Because when I get that mindset, my life changes. No longer am I trying to do what I want to do. And folks, if I try to do what I want to do, I figured something out. It don't work half the time. But I say, Lord, I submit to you. And I want you to change my mind. I want you to change my heart. I want you to make me see people like you see people. Are you doing what Jesus did? Let's pray. Worship team, come on up. Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for the opportunity we have to look at you an example, the example. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word. Father, if somebody's not following you as close as they need to, I pray that change tonight. God, if they're not doing what you've called them to do, I pray they'd surrender tonight. Lord, I am so thankful that I have an example. And I don't need to get far from it. And I pray, God, through our time of invitation, you'd have your will and way. You would get the honor. Nobody in here would get the honor but the name of Jesus. If somebody's lost and they're going to hell, I pray when they leave that they can say, hell lost another one, I am free. That's my prayer. And if, Lord, you're dealing with somebody, I pray you give them the boldness to step out in faith. God, if somebody's backslidden, if somebody's not doing what you would do, I pray that'd change tonight. And I pray you get all the honor and glory. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.